Welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Now let's join together in song with hymn number 264 from the Christian Science Hymnal. Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. Now we've just sung hymn number 264, and the remaining hymns are 153 and 312. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Bible, 2 Timothy and Hebrews. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. From 1 Chronicles. Now the sons of Issachar and the sons of Tola, they were valiant men of might in their generation, whose number was in the days of David 220,600. And with them by their generations, after the house of their fathers, were bands of soldiers for war, 36,000 men. And the sons of Bela, mighty men of valor, and were reckoned by their genealogies 22,034. All these the sons of Jediel, by the heads of their fathers, mighty men of valor, were 17,200 soldiers, fit to go out for war and battle. From Judges. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which is in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon thrashed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give to the Midianites and into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. 2 Chronicles and Psalms. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together, and to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then upon Jehaziel came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And they rose early in the morning, and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. From the prophet Malachi. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. St. Luke. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear, and healed him. And Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple, and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief, with swords and staves? And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Acts and Ephesians. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and, having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Peace be to the brethren. Revelation. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. 2 Peter and Psalms. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. And now from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The history of our country, like all history, illustrates the might of mind and shows human power to be proportionate to its embodiment of right thinking. A few immortal sentences, breathing the omnipotence of divine justice, have been potent to break despotic fetters and abolish the whipping post and slave market. but oppression neither went down in blood, nor did the breath of freedom come from the cannon's mouth. Love is the liberator. Remembering the sweat of agony which fell in holy benediction on the grass of Gethsemane, shall the humblest or mightiest disciple murmur when he drinks from the same cup and think or even wish to escape the exalting ordeal of sin's revenge on its destroyer? Truth and love bestow few palms until the consummation of a life work. Judas had the world's weapon. Jesus had not one of them, and chose not the world's means of defense. He opened not his mouth. The great demonstrator of truth and love was silent before envy and hate. Peter would have smitten the enemies of his master, but Jesus forbade him, thus rebuking resentment or animal courage. He said, "Put up thy sword." During his night of gloom and glory in the garden, Jesus realized the utter error of a belief in any possible material intelligence. The pangs of neglect, the staves of bigoted ignorance smote him sorely. His students slept. He said unto them, "Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Could they not watch with him who, waiting and struggling in voiceless agony, held uncomplaining guard over a world?" There was no response to that human yearning, and so Jesus turned forever away from earth to heaven, from sense to soul. First in the list of Christian duties, he taught his followers the healing power of truth and love. He attached no importance to dead ceremonies. It is the living Christ, the practical truth, which makes Jesus the resurrection and the life to all who follow him indeed. Obeying his precious precepts, following his demonstration so far as we apprehend it, we drink of his cup, partake of his bread, are baptized with his purity, and at last we shall rest, sit down with him in a full understanding of the divine principle which triumphs over death. In ancient Rome, a soldier was required to swear allegiance to his general. The Latin word for this oath was sacramentum, and our English word sacrament is derived from it. Among the Jews, it was an ancient custom for the master of a feast to pass each guest a cup of wine. But the Eucharist does not commemorate a Roman soldier's oath, nor was the wine used in convivial occasions and in Jewish rites the cup of our Lord. The cup shows forth his bitter experience, the cup which he prayed might pass from him, though he bowed in holy submission to the divine decree. The divinity of the Christ was made manifest in the humanity of Jesus. While we adore Jesus, and the heart overflows with gratitude for what he did for mortals, treading alone his loving pathway up to the throne of glory, in speechless agony exploring the way for us, yet Jesus spares us not one individual experience if we follow his commands faithfully, and all of the cup of sorrowful effort to drink in proportion to their demonstration of his love, till all are redeemed through divine love. Divine truth, life, and love gave Jesus authority over sin, sickness, and death. His mission was to reveal the science of celestial being, to prove what God is and what he does for man. Science is the stranger within thy gates. Remember not, even when its elevating effects practically prove its divine origin and efficacy. Remember that mankind must sooner or later, either by suffering or by science, be convinced of the error that is to be overcome. Good demands of man every hour in which to work out the problem of being. We should forget our bodies in remembering good and the human race. the Christian Scientist has enlisted to lessen evil, disease, and death, and he will overcome them by understanding their nothingness and the allness of God or good. Sickness to him is no less a temptation than a sin, and he heals them both by understanding God's power over them. The Christian Scientist knows that they are errors of belief which truth can and will destroy. At all times and under all circumstances, overcome evil with good. Know thyself, and God will supply the wisdom and the occasion for a victory over evil. Clad in the panoply of love, human hatred cannot reach you. Your true course is to destroy the foe and leave the field to God, life, truth, and love, remembering that God and his ideas alone are real and harmonious. These two contradictory theories, that matter is something or that all is mind, will dispute the ground until one is acknowledged to be the victor. Discussing his campaign, General Grant said, "I propose to fight it out on this line if it takes all summer." Science says, "All is mind and mind's idea. You must fight it out on this line. Matter can afford you no aid." Spirituality lays open siege to materialism. On which side are we fighting? The Old Testament assigns to the angels God's divine messages, different offices. Michael's characteristic is spiritual strength. He leads the hosts of heaven against the power of sin, Satan, and fights the holy wars. Gabriel has the more quiet task of imparting a sense of the ever-presence of ministering love. These angels deliver us from the depths. Truth and love come nearer in the hour of woe, when strong faith or spiritual strength wrestles and prevails through the understanding of God. The Gabriel of his presence has no contest. To infinite, ever-present love, all is love, and there is no error, no sin, sickness, nor death. Against love the dragon warreth not long, for he is killed by the divine principle. Truth and love prevail against the dragon, because the dragon cannot war with them. Thus endeth the conflict between the flesh and spirit.